Today's text comes from Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through 24. During the last Communion Lord's Day, we looked at a passage from Genesis. Today we'll revisit it once more. The story tells us how Abraham fought against the army of the king of Elam, who had taken Lot and his family captive. Abraham, with his 300 servants, went to rescue Lot and his family. He saw this as God's war and fought in it by faith, eventually defeating the king of Elam and his army, who were ruling over the southern part of the land of Canaan at that time. Abraham was able to win this war because he participated in God's war, who used him to destroy his enemy, the king of Elam, and rescue Lot from his captivity. Although Abraham was weak in worldly and physical terms, he won the war by faith alone. This story teaches us that God's war has always been like this in his redemptive history. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. The war fought by Abraham with about 300 servants was won through the power of God. During this battle, the glory of God was revealed in the form of children and infants by defeating great enemies. This war in which Abraham participated ultimately pointed to the war that Jesus would fight on the cross. All of God's people are called to participate in Jesus' war on the cross, just as Abraham did. Abraham relied on the power of God to save Lot from the hands of the worldly king. And similarly, Jesus left the throne of heaven to save us from the hands of Satan. However, God the Son, who possesses great glory and power, came to this earth in the form of a weak child and fought the battle to save us by God's power. Why did Jesus have to come in this way? He fought a war not only for us, but on our behalf. Jesus came to earth as a human being and obeyed God until his death, defeating sin, death, and the power of Satan. Even though Jesus fought in his weakest form and died on the cross helplessly, he fought until the end and won the ultimate victory for us. This is what Jesus calls us to do, to fight the battle of faith. We too have victory in Jesus. Although we may seem weak in the eyes of the world, we must hold on to the gospel until the end and persevere with faith and obedience to fight the battle of Jesus. Even though the reality of victory is not visible in our lives, God works in us to become more like Jesus and reveal his glory through our fight of faith. We must gain strength through faith and actively fight in Jesus' war. However, to do so, we must understand the purpose of this war. It is not a worldly or physical war, nor is it a battle to gain more of the world or to make things go well in the world. To better understand this, we can look at the example of Abraham. Abraham did not go to war to gain worldly possessions like someone who belonged to the world. Even after fighting this war, Abraham had not gained anything in this world. He simply defeated the enemy and saved God's people, Lot. Even after the stolen wealth was recovered, Abraham did not take any of it and gave a tenth of it to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and returned the rest to the king of Sodom. So even though Abraham won, he didn't gain any worldly rewards. Was the war a loss because there was nothing worldly gained? No. But then what did Abraham fight for when there was nothing of worldly value to gain? Although he has gained nothing worldly goods, he has gained something better. In today's text, First, please listen carefully to what the priest Melchizedek said to Abraham, who returned after winning the war. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Melchizedek gave glory to God by declaring that Abraham's victory in the war was not due to his own strength and ability, but by the power and grace of God. So how did Abraham react to this recognition? Did he complain to God for not being acknowledged? No, he did not. Instead, Abraham gave all the glory to God, just as Melchizedek had said. Not only that, but he also gave a tenth of all the things he had recovered from the king of Elam to the priest Melchizedek. In the Old Testament, tithing was an expression that everything belonged to God. Abraham gives all the glory to God, even though he gained nothing of this world. He is happy and grateful to God for allowing him to participate in God's war and victory. Abraham had another reason to be thankful and happy. His faith grew through the war he had just experienced. Before, Abraham only fought his own battles. He was good at fighting for himself, but when it came to God's war, he was helpless. He lacked the understanding of how to fight a war for God's glory by believing in Him and following His will. Just before the incident in today's text, a famine came, and Abraham abandoned God and the land of Canaan, which was his covenant inheritance. He fled to Egypt, where he deceived the king by saying his wife was his sister and handing her over to him, just to save his own life. Now, Abraham was grateful to have been allowed to fight for God and God's people. He was thankful to have fought in the war of Jesus, not for his own gain, but for God's glory, by having faith in Him. Abraham's life underwent a significant transformation. In the past, he was scared of losing everything and ran away to Egypt to avoid losing it. But now, even he has nothing to gain from the world or loses everything, Abraham is ready to face his fears and is prepared to go to war against the king of Elam and his army by the grace of God. Abraham is now moving forward with faith. Previously, Abraham had lied and sold his wife to protect himself. However, he now runs actively to save Lot, one of God's people, even to the point of sacrificing himself without fear of death. Abraham's desire, joy, and gratitude are gradually changing, and the reasons for them are changing too. God's will and his brother become the reasons for his desire, joy, and gratitude. Consequently, Abraham lives a more active life and takes bolder steps of faith. Abraham becomes more and more like Jesus Christ, whose only desire, joy, and gratitude were to fulfill God's pleasing will and save us. Through the war of faith to save Lot, Abraham revealed the glory of Jesus, who would come as the Savior of his people. Therefore, Abraham obtained something better that cannot be obtained in this world. What he means is that this is a war he is actively fighting. So it means that it doesn't matter even if no one notices or if he doesn't get anything. No, rather, it means that he does all things giving thanks to God. We see Jesus through him. Jesus rejoices in the suffering of the cross for us. He always thanked God even when he was crucified and died. Abraham is becoming more like Jesus. Apostle Paul is becoming more like Jesus. We too can participate in this life of Jesus and receive the grace to become more like him. So our fight also changes by God's grace. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, "Now I rejoice in the sufferings I suffer for you. it's important to take a closer look at this verse. Where does Paul find joy? He says he is glad to suffer for you, which refers to the church and the saints. In other words, his joy comes from serving and sacrificing for his fellow believers. He even expresses a desire to know more about Christ's suffering and participate in it for the sake of the church. Paul willingly endures suffering for the sake of others, not because he is forced to. This means that even if no one notices or they don't receive anything in return, they continue to do everything with gratitude towards God. By doing so, they can reflect Jesus' character in their actions. Jesus himself rejoiced in the suffering of the cross for us and always thanked God, even during his crucifixion and death. Similarly, Abraham and Apostle Paul also became more like Jesus through their struggles. By the grace of God, we too can participate in this life of Jesus and become more like him. Thus, our fight also transforms through God's grace. Believers, let us reflect on the nature of the war we are currently engaged in. Are we still fighting a war driven by our worldly desires? Rather than participating in God's war through faith in Jesus, are we trying to involve God in our own battles, using him for our own glory? When we face worldly difficulties, are we quick to abandon God and the life that belongs to his kingdom and turn to the world for help? If we don't prosper in the world, gain worldly benefits, or fear losing them, do we end up discarding everything related to Jesus, the gospel, faith, church, worship, and our brothers and sisters? Are we fighting a war without Jesus, one that has nothing to do with testifying to the love of the cross of Jesus and without heavenly hope? Are we fighting only by sight, not by faith? Let us examine our lives once again. Dear saints, we are not merely fighting a physical and worldly battle for our own gain. If we do, we are no different from the people of the world. Our true reality is that we hold on to the grace of God and fight the battle of Jesus through faith. We have chosen to fight this war, and in doing so, there is no defeat. Even if we gain nothing in the world or suffer physically, we do not lose. This is because we are participating in the war that Jesus fought and won. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul shows us how we as saints fight the battle of faith. We have Jesus, our precious treasure, living within us. Though we may be pressed on all sides, we are not crushed. When we are frustrated, we do not lose heart. When we are persecuted, we are not abandoned. When we are knocked down, we are not destroyed. At these times, the life of Jesus appears in our lives. No matter what hardships and trials come our way, and no matter how much they may knock us down, we fight a battle that reveals the glory of Jesus in us. Stay steadfast in your faith and continue to fight the good fight. In essence, the battle we face is the struggle of surrendering our will to God's will. It is the fight to prioritize serving God rather than accumulating earthly possessions, to love Jesus above all else, and to value heavenly home more highly than this world. It is the conflict of choosing to benefit our brothers and sisters over our own self-interest, a battle that requires caring for and uplifting those around us, even in times of hardship. It is the war that showcases God's glory instead of our own, and the fight to honor Jesus rather than elevating our own status. It's the battle of serving others rather than expecting to be served, and the war of giving thanks to God in all circumstances, finding joy and contentment in Jesus alone. Above all, it is the war of placing worshiping God at the forefront of our lives, breaking free from carnal desires and sin in following God's word. This is the same war that Jesus has already fought and won for us, and it is one that we must continue to fight until our death. Ultimately, it is only by God's grace that we will emerge victorious and enter heaven. As we fight this war of faith, there will be times when we fail and doubt our faith. However, we should turn to Jesus each time we fail. By looking at the cross of Jesus, we can understand the kind of fight that Jesus fought on our behalf and realize more deeply the kind of fight we must fight as well. We should stand up and fight actively, holding on to Jesus' victory. Our life's journey is to fight this battle of Jesus until we go to heaven. Even though we are weak, God allows us to fight and reveal the glory of Jesus through our lives. We all experience a spiritual battle in our lives, but as God gave grace to Abraham, He gives us grace to fight the good fight. By faith, we can fight in Jesus for the glory of God. Let us participate in Jesus' fight by faith and not be dragged around like slaves of the world. May we take a step of faith towards God and fight for His glory. Abraham didn't gain any worldly possessions through the war he fought, but that doesn't mean he didn't gain anything valuable. In today's text, we see that Abraham received something much better, a reward that we receive only through the grace of God. This reward was more precious than anything the world could offer, and its glory was hidden from the world. So what was Abraham's first reward? He gained Lot and his family, and he was reunited with God's people, his heavenly family, and his brothers. In the same way, Jesus gained the reward of the saints by fighting the good fight until he died on the cross. He has shared this reward with us by giving us our brothers and sisters as our reward. The saints who are with you are the reward that Jesus gained and gave to us. This reward is also what we will receive eternally in heaven. Therefore, it is important that we serve, protect, look after, and support our brothers and sisters until the end. We must continue to live as one body with one faith, as they are our eternal reward in heaven. When we live joyfully for our brothers and sisters, we fight the fight of faith more actively, even to the point of suffering to gain them. Actively caring for and serving them so that they can believe in Jesus is also a fight of faith that we will fight until we suffer. Finally, when Abraham returned from this battle, a greater reward was prepared for him. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High." Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God and the king of Salem, brought bread and wine to Abraham. The name Salem means peace, and Melchizedek means king of righteousness. In other words, Melchizedek was the king of peace and righteousness and a priest. Whom was he pointing to? Hebrews chapter 6 verses 20 through chapter 7 verse 2. Where Jesus is gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, and to Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness, and then he is also king of Salem, that is, King of Peace. In this verse, Melchizedek testifies about Jesus, who is referred to as the King of Peace, King of Righteousness, and Eternal High Priest. Abraham offers tithes to Melchizedek, who blesses Abraham and rewards him with bread and wine after his victory. This is symbolic of Jesus offering bread and wine as a reward to those who participate in his war and victory. The bread and wine represent the flesh and the blood of Jesus, and by accepting them, we partake in his life. Jesus also bestows upon us the blessings of heaven that he achieved through his own flesh and blood, namely his death. This reward is far greater than any worldly possession and cannot be exchanged for anything. We should not make the mistake that Esau did and trade this heavenly reward for merely earthly gain. Abraham was not foolish. He realized the more precious reward through faith. During our journey on this earth, God teaches us to find joy and satisfaction in this reward. As our faith grows, the object of our joy and satisfaction changes, just as it did for Abraham. Our ultimate joy and satisfaction are found in Jesus. We find greater satisfaction and joy in the bread of the table of the Lord, rather than in the bread of the world. Our fight also changes as we fight the good fight of faith. We focus more on placing our joy and satisfaction in Jesus, our brothers and sisters, and our heavenly inheritance. Above all, Jesus is our greatest reward. This is evident in the words that God gave to Abraham after the events described in today's text. After Abraham finished the war, the Lord God appeared to him and promised himself to Abraham, saying, "I am your very great reward." In chapter 15, God made a covenant with Abraham and promised that Christ would come. Ultimately, Abraham's victory was to gain Christ. As believers, we have to fight to gain Christ, to be content with Christ alone, to become more like Christ, to reveal his glory, and to exalt him. Our ultimate goal is to honor Christ in everything we do, whether we live or die, and to be with him for eternity. Let us pray that God will restore us to this fight of faith. Apostle Paul also fought this fight and said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Dear saints, today at this table, we are reminded that Jesus is our greatest and eternal reward. By giving us the bread and wine of this communion table, Jesus is making us realize that we have already received and will receive Jesus as our reward. This enables us to actively fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which we shared at the beginning, we are told that even though we may be oppressed on all sides, we should not be discouraged. Even if we are persecuted or knocked down, we should not lose heart or perish, because we, like earthen vessels, have Jesus as our eternal treasure within us. If we receive Jesus, we lack nothing. Even if we lose everything in this world and our lives end, it's okay, because we have gained Jesus. So let us gain strength from this reminder and continue to fight the good fight of faith. However, if we do not find joy in Jesus, we won't have the strength to fight our battles of faith. Jesus came to offer himself as our eternal inheritance, but the world rejected him and crucified the Son of God because of his refusal to give them worldly possessions. Does this not resemble our lives today? Are we content and happy knowing that we have Jesus as our eternal inheritance and reward? Is it all right to lose everything in this world knowing that we have Jesus? If so, then let us rise and fight once more with faith. Let us swiftly flee from the temptations of sin and actively follow God's pleasing will. How much longer will we be dragged around like Satan's servants? How long will we continue to make excuses and compromises? How much longer will we be helpless to God's pleasing will? Let us take a step of faith. Jesus is by our side. Do not be afraid. Jesus fought and emerged victorious, so do not worry about being lost or taken away. Instead, step forward to the fight of faith. On the last day, Jesus will return to wage the final war against Satan and take us to heaven. The final war is not a war we are unsure of the outcome. It is the execution of the final judgment on a war that was already won on the cross. In Revelation 19, Jesus comes riding a white horse with a heavenly army in white, clean linen. At that time, Jesus will come in great power and glory to declare final victory. We will participate in the victory of Jesus. He will call all his people to the ends of the earth and give them to us as our brothers. We will share in the eternal heavenly inheritance and live with Jesus for eternity. Until that day, hold fast to the eternal reward you possess. Always look to Jesus and the eternal blessings of heaven. Hold on tightly. Fight the good fight of faith with joy.